Hello and welcome back to the Clear Voice podcast. I can't believe that we've done a whole series. We've had 9 incredible women on the podcast and I've been able to share pretty much every episode with the incredible producer Sarah, who is always amazing. And if you ever wonder why every episode sounds so slick, it's all because of her. The actual recording is not slick at all, but Sarah works some serious magic. So big up to Sarah. And I did mention this in the trailer, but I wanted to kind of come back to the reason why I started this podcast in the first place and why I started Clear Voice. When I was a lot younger, I was training to be a classical singer, and it's always what I wanted to do. But if you live your life according to what your 14-year-old self wanted to do, you will probably not do the right job and you'll probably end up eating probably quite a lot of chocolate. So I was training as a classical singer and I was really going down this career path, but it just really was making me incredibly miserable. I love voices and I love singing, but I did not love the career that it was packaged in. And I really loved working with people and not singing to a room of people and being like, don't know if they enjoyed it or not. I enjoyed it. Did they have a good time? Did it make a difference to their lives? But working with people one-to-one to help them find their voices and seeing how people changed in their confidence and in their demeanor and how they approached their lives and how they would walk out of the room taller than when they walked in because of the lesson we'd had, because of the work that we'd done together. So I started an artist development company in the patriarchal, very patriarchal world of pop. Side note, did you know that about 70% of all the music that we listen to is written by men? We are consuming the patriarchy on a daily basis. And during this time, my ideas were just not listened to. I was spoken over. I was marginalized purely because I was a woman. And the ideas that I had that I knew were the right ideas for the business, were completely disregarded until like a couple of weeks later they would be brought up by a male colleague, and then everyone would think they're a brilliant idea and we'd do them. And I, you know, you just get into that situation, you're like, what the fuck? What? It's just complete bullshit. And so around that time I discovered some amazing female role models. I read a lot of feminist literature, I listened to more feminist podcasts, and I just realized that actually all that time that I had spent honing my craft and singing to rooms full of people, halls full of people, that those were amazing skills that I could use to solve the problems that I was having. That I could stand up for myself, I could hold space, I could assert myself, and I could back myself. If I knew that something, it had already been proved to me when those ideas had come back and been used that my ideas were correct. So if I could just assert myself more and use those skills that I had, that I could make change, and then that I can help other women do the same. So the problem is that we still didn't have enough female role models, and that we're not talking about that as women. We all have these same problems, but we just don't discuss them. So that's why I wanted to create the podcast. And then simultaneously, I am someone that really fervently believes that in fairness and in everyone having a good chance. And when I say fairness, I hear my parents going, life's not fair. You know, when you're like 5 and you're like, I just want to do this. And they're like, it's not fair. And your parents are like, oh, well, life's not fair. Yeah, life's not fair, but it doesn't have to be fucked up, not fair. And, you know, whole entire genders being marginalized. Yeah, that's not a kind of not fair that I can live with. Someone else getting a job and not me. Yeah, I can probably live with that being not fair as long as they're qualified. What? Yes. And with white women marginalizing women of color. Nope, can't deal with that being not fair. Can't deal with that at all. What else can I not deal with that's not fair? Can't deal with sexual assault. Can't deal with domestic violence. None of that is fair. Can't deal with FGM. That's not fair. These things we need to fight for. We need to talk about them, because if we don't talk about them, they will never be solved. And there will always be someone saying, oh, life's not fair. So if we make our voices heard and we all speak together, we can change the things that are not fair, that are unjust and are wrong with our society. Because we as women are the majority. I think we're 52% currently. 52% of the world's entire population. if we, our voices are so loud if we use them together. We use them for change and we use them to right those wrongs. This week, we are going to discuss the best of the best of 2019. All things feminism, all things women, all things speaking out. So to start with, my female business of the year is Modibodi. I don't know if you have heard about them, but they make period pants. Period pants? Ooh, gross. That sounds disgusting. Yep. Yes, it does. Periods are generally not amazing. I think we all know that. But Modibodi genuinely, I have found, makes them better. When I first heard about them, I thought, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'm not sure how it would work in practice. Potentially problematic. However, I already use a moon cup and I wanted to have completely zero waste periods. Loads of information for you all there. I hope you're enjoying it. Never too much information on this podcast. And Modibodi was the answer to that. So the way they work is that you wear them and then you rinse them with cold water and then you wash them. And it's super simple. And if you are like me and you don't like taking time out of your day to deal with your period, they are excellent because you literally just wear them like normal pants and you don't have to go on multiple trips to the toilet and doing all that stuff. And they're brilliant and they are so unbelievably comfortable and they are the answer to all my dreams. And they are a female-founded company. They also give back to loads of female foundations. For every one pair that's bought, two pairs are given away. And they are really committed to being zero waste. So, big up Modibodi, female business of the year. Now, moving on to my pet peeve of the year. Now, let me make this very clear. This is a pet peeve. It is not the biggest problem in the world. Okay, pet peeve. My love, not your love, not anyone's love. I hope I'm my husband's love, but I'm definitely not your love, you random person in the street, you random person serving coffee, you random person like talking to me. No, I'm not your love. Nope, definitely not. I'm not also not your darling. I'm not your anything. I am a person. Don't call me that. It's belittling. Men aren't called my love. Men aren't called my darling. Please don't try to get my attention by doing that. Pet peeve. Not loving it. Now, moving on to what actually is a problem. This is my Instagram that you're probably not following, but should follow. The Instagram is called The Uncut Initiative. And they post real life stories from FGM survivors. And FGM is not just a female problem, it is an everyone problem. And I know that on this podcast, 30% of our listeners are men. So shout out to you fellas. Thank you very much for listening. Please carry on listening because you are part of the conversation and it's really important that you speak up as well. So FGM can often seem like a problem that we all understand is horrific, but we can't relate to. It's not like periods that we all have and we can all share in. It's something that also we feel like maybe happens, is a foreign problem and happens far away from us. So we understand in theory how awful it is, but you can't quite understand the true horror of it. So I'm just going to read one of the stories. This does include some sensitive content. This is from Frances Cole and it was posted on the 14th of August 2019. I was just 11 years old when my stepmom told my 13-year-old sister and me that we were going to be, quote-unquote, made into women. She and my dad said it was a rite of passage, and when we came out of the procedure, we'd get lots of presents. On the night of August 1st, 1984, my stepmom took us to an isolated area about an hour bus ride away from where we lived in Sierra Leone. When we arrived, there were many women waiting outside of a hut. They told us to wait inside the hut while they did something outside. Then one woman told us to take off all our clothes. They ordered us to go back outside and sit under a tree. First they came and got my sister because she was older. They took her into the hut and to this day I can still hear her screams. When they dragged her back to the tree, she was crying and covered in blood. I had no idea what was going on. Then it was my turn. They took me away, blindfolded me, tied my hands behind my back, and had me lie down on the floor on a mat. Several other women spread my legs wide open and pinned my legs down so that I couldn't fight. The cutter sat on my chest. She was heavy set and naked. I only know this because as she began to amputate my clitoris and labia minora, I was in so much shock from the pain that I pulled myself forward and bit her on the bum. When the cutter was done assaulting me, they removed my blindfold. I was covered in blood, and the women were dancing and singing and shouting and drinking alcohol. The physical pain, sharp, cutting, but never ending, was only made worse by the emotional pain. What was happening? Why had our parents allowed this to happen? What should we fear next? They didn't stitch up the wound or use any kind of antiseptic. They left us as we were to live or die. I was lucky because in the end, I survived. I would 100% recommend that you follow this Instagram page because it can really bring home the struggle of and how real it is for so many women in the world that it's so easy to sort of ignore and blinker from our lives. It's not something that is for us to solve. It's not something that needs our Western attention to solve these quote-unquote primitive issues. But it's something that as women and people, we need to have conversations about so that communities can come to their own solutions and they can solve these issues themselves. If you want to know more, I would definitely recommend reading Nimco Ali's book, What We're Told Not to Talk About, But We're Going to Anyway, Women's Voices from East London to Ethiopia, which was published by Penguin Books in June, 2019. Nimco Ali has also founded two organisations. One is the Five Foundation and the second is Daughters of Eve. Daughters of Eve are currently looking for 100,000 signatures for their government petition to force a debate in Parliament. So please go to their website and sign that petition. My ally of the series is Stefan from SJ Cycles. Now, it's really important for us to have allies in this conversation because we all live in the world together and yes, feminism, but also we got to have men on our side. We really do. And there are some amazing men out there. Stefan is number one, just a genuinely wonderful human being and good person. Number two, his company that he runs is he's a mobile bike mechanic. And what he does is he goes to people's houses, he looks at their bikes, and before they go somewhere like Halfords or some other more niche cycling shop that I wouldn't know the name of because I'm not a cyclist, before they go there, he tells them what they need so that they're not sold loads of stuff that they don't know. And personally, as a woman, I find places like that when I don't necessarily know everything about mechanics and cars and bikes, that you're talked down to so much and you are oversold things so much that men just wouldn't be oversold to because men respect men in a different way. So Stefan is great. He also does lessons if you want to learn how to sort out your own punctures yourself and maintain your bike. So he will save you money. He will help you. And he's just generally a good person. So please look him up. All his socials are going to be in the show notes. And he is my ally of the series. Also, obviously, cannot finish a section without giving a shout out to my amazing husband, Jason, who you will have heard his music. His music is the theme tune to this podcast. He's also, I mean, I personally think that that's his greatest work ever, but he would probably argue that his multiple albums and first ever album premiered in the cinema and being signed to every major record label, big up my husband, is his greatest achievement. But I know, I think we can all agree that it's the music on the podcast. So he is an amazing man and he is obviously the ally of my life. Now, moving on to my top tip for finding your voice. I think the most amazing way that you can find your voice generally just in your life, in your everyday life, and see the power that your voice has is saying, excuse me, when you're walking through a crowd of people. Now, I don't know about you, but I, as a female, I tend to be like, oh, excuse me, I'm just going to get through, excuse me. What? I always do it. And I'm like, Florence, why are you putting yourself into a tiny space, doing a stupid little high voice and generally trying to apologize for existing? No. Important. Must say, excuse me. That's it. It has a huge amount of power. People will move out of the way for you. You can see the power that your voice has. You can see it happening. Granted, some people, like the dickhead yesterday on Oxford Street, will turn around to you and be like, and what? And then you'll be like, you stopped in front of me. And he'll be like, oh yeah, move around me. But you've just got to let those people go because they will be about 1 in 1,000. And, you know, there are dickheads everywhere. But anyway, please do. That is the way that you can really see your voice working. And if you're someone that you struggle at work or you struggle in a family setting, really asserting yourself, doing it to strangers when you're literally, you just walk away and you're never going to have to see them again, that is a great space for you to really start seeing the power of your voice and using it. And now my top tip for helping your friends and other colleagues and women in your life to find their voices. The most important thing for us to do as allies for each other is to advocate for each other. It is so important. If you see a female colleague who is being talked over or is in a meeting and someone just keeps cutting them off, then say, oh, sorry, I don't think that she was finished speaking. Oh, let's just go back to Jane. I don't think she was finished. Because Jane can't be like, excuse me, I was not finished. Because, yeah, I mean, you can do that, but maybe in that meeting environment in front of everyone else, that's not quite appropriate. But you, as another female and someone that's advocating for someone else, can do it and is much less confrontational. So please, ladies and gentlemen, let's advocate for each other. Let's make sure that the people who are not being heard have a chance and we give them a platform with our louder voices. So my inspirational woman, I feel so excited to finally be doing one. After having 9 women doing theirs, I've been thinking about it every week, like who will mine be? So my inspirational woman is Kelechi Okafor. She is the co-founder of Kelechnikov Studio, which is a studio that focuses on pole fitness. She is an actor and director and podcaster. And most of all, as you will know if you listen to her podcast, she is a baby girl. And she has genuinely changed my life recently. And I want to just take a moment to talk about what a female role model is. A female role model is not someone who you see on Instagram and influences you to do a workout or to make a recipe or to have a career change even or do little changes in your life. A role model is someone who makes you think differently about things, who fully inspires you, that when you are not in contact with their content, be it books, articles, podcasts, whatever, that you are thinking about what they have said to you outside of that. Instagram is a great way to keep up with what they're doing so that you can then consume that content and that you can be updated and be inspired. But following someone on Instagram is not going to be the kind of firelighting influence that you need in your life. So just, I would really like everyone to think about that, because I think that Instagram wants you to think that it will solve your problems and that it will influence you and it will make your life a better place. But it does have a part in it, but it is not the overall solution. And you must use it and you must go deeper. You must go deeper if you really want to be truly inspired. Kelechi's podcast is called Say Your Mind, and she really uses her voice for change in this podcast. She has a real focus on education, on prison reform, on speaking out about intersectional feminism. And I would really say, if you're a white woman listening to this podcast, please, please, please listen to Kelechi's podcast. Because the way that she raises issues around white feminism, it's uncomfortable. Of course it is. It's always uncomfortable when someone tells you you're doing something wrong. It's thought-provoking. And she does it in a really just way. And they are things that are very often left out of the mainstream conversation because they do not fit in with the white patriarchal values that we hold so dear as the UK. And I would really say, especially if you are a white woman, it's really important. Please, please, please just give, if you're listening to this podcast, give Kelechi's podcast a go. Listen to a few episodes. Start potentially with Mother of Demons. That's a good one. And then come up to date. Because she discusses issues that are really important to think about and really important to reevaluate feminism. And are we having true intersectional feminism or are we having white feminism? And I know it's a really toxic subject, but it's really important to talk about it. And however uncomfortable it may be, especially for white women, we have to always evaluate whether we are truly intersectional or whether we are serving ourselves in a white patriarchy. Thank you very much for listening to the 10th and final episode of the Clear Voice podcast. I will be back next year with another group of amazing women, starting with Molly Brown from Hey Girls. Hey Girls are a social enterprise who have been lobbying the government for free sanitary products in public spaces and schools. They have now succeeded, and in Scotland, there will be free sanitary products in schools and all town halls, public spaces. But, interestingly, this has created a new problem. A lot of the people in charge of purchasing are men. What a surprise. And a lot of these men don't know how many tampons to order, what kind of tampons to order. Do we order pads? Do we only have pads? Do we not have tampons? So a lot of her work now is going into workplaces and educating men on sanitary products and having these conversations and also talking to religious communities about sanitary products and working out how to be respectful of them and still have the access to products for young women in vulnerable places. So tune in and I will see you then.